You've likely seen or heard stories recently about lead-contaminated water in the small southwest Michigan community of Benton Harbor. And for the second time in under a decade, Michigan's elected leaders are being asked why this toxic water is allowed to persist in communities.
It is so difficult to get people on the same page about the risk and the risk of exposure for human health.
This is Stateside. I'm Laura Weber Davis, in for April Baer. Michigan Radio's Lindsay Smith says, yes, it looks bad for Michigan, but it's complicated by the legacy of Flint's water crisis.
So Benton Harbor had its first action level exceedance, is what they call it, the first time they've been sort of triggered in this way for lead in water in 2018. And so since then, they've added some treatment to their water in 2019, and then that really wasn't working. So they added a different kind of treatment in February of 2020. And now it's still not working. And so this is 3 years now of continuous lead levels in water in Benton Harbor that have been considered elevated.
Why are we just ramping up now in the sort of national focus that is being given to Benton Harbor?
So I think there's really only one answer to that question, and that's because community members went to the US EPA. They petitioned the EPA to say, you know, look, we don't feel like there's enough being done here. The state is helping us and they're doing they're following the rules in some of these ways, right? But they wanted more action, and they asked the US EPA to step in and provide bottled water and take some other emergency measures, which US EPA got fried for in Flint for not taking more immediate action. So the real answer is there's more pressure.
If we've been looking at the situation for Benton Harbor since 2018, and the community itself has had to advocate for more attention, why are they just now being told to maybe start drinking bottled water?
Yeah, this is a great question that came up in an oversight committee meeting yesterday, on Thursday. And State Representative Stephen Johnson basically had to drill this question probably three or four times before getting a straight answer of the head of EGLE, the regulatory agency at the state level that's responsible for drinking water compliance.
I'm looking for a yes or no. Is it safe to drink the water in Benton Harbor right now or not?
The state of Michigan wants citizens to be drinking bottled water.
So you don't think the water there is safe to drink?
The state of Michigan wants... This is a determination made by DHHS.
Come on. Let's just talk like normal people here. It's a normal question. Is the water in Benton Harbor safe to drink or not?
No, it's not. People should be drinking bottled water.
Okay.
You can see how the mixed messaging here is maddening, right? Like, on the one hand, there's lead in water. There is no safe level of lead in drinking water. But on the other hand, lead is so sporadic when it shows up in water that there may be homes where the water is technically safe to drink, but you won't necessarily know that on a given day, or if your pipe is lead. But just as a from a messaging standpoint, for the community, it is so difficult to get people on the same page about the risk and the risk of exposure for human health.
Lindsay, I have to say, it reminded me, hearing that exchange from yesterday's hearing, reminded me of some of the mixed messaging you got in your own reporting for your documentary on the Flint water crisis years ago. Then the Snyder administration, why is that sort of baked in politically, this aversion to telling people their water is not safe to drink?
Well, I think, you know, at a gut level, probably people don't want to totally freak the community out, right? Politicians don't want to, like, raise the alarm unnecessarily. And I imagine that's part of the calculus. That's when I talk to water system operators, they don't want to freak people out for no good reason.
Right.
And the problem with some of this lead and water issue, like I said, it's sporadic. And you may have a community. I mean, like in Benton Harbor, the lead lines are there. It is the bulk. They are estimating it's the bulk of the houses there are hooked up to lead service lines. But that's not necessarily the case in you know, other cities where you have maybe a limited number of homes with lead service lines, and they'll try to downplay this and say, look, we only 6 homes tested high, you know, don't freak out. I think that the most important thing that you can do to protect yourself, especially if you're a pregnant person or you have a formula-fed infant, is to know what is hooked up to your house. Do you have a lead line? Do you have fixtures in your faucets that maybe have leaded solder or brass that was blended with lead? That's the best way to protect yourself, because this 15 parts per billion action level, it's really an arbitrary number. It's not a health standard. So even if your water system meets the compliance standard, right? You say you only have 14 parts per billion and you're not over the action level. But if you have a lead home or a lead hookup to your house in that community, like, I would still be concerned, even if your community water system is not warning you to be. So I think it's sort of a messy, very complicated situation. So when you say the water is not safe to drink, it's a big step. It feels like a big step to politicians, and I think water system operators especially. And they don't do that lightly.
Time for a quick break. Be right back. Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all 3 campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
So when we look at the scale, and maybe setting the politics aside, but when we look at the scale of what's going on in Benton Harbor for that community versus what was happening in Flint, and also the contaminant levels, how does this compare to the Flint water crisis?
Well, just numbers-wise, the action level exceedance level, so like the lead in water levels, over time are higher than they were in Flint for a longer period of time than they were in Flint. That's not to say, again, this is very complex where you get into individual houses. There were individual houses in Flint during the water crisis that had insane toxic levels of lead in their water, right? So that's not to downplay those particular houses. And there are houses, individual houses in Benton Harbor that have really, really high levels. And then you'll get other houses where it's zero. So the scale is definitely comparable to Flint as far as just strictly the water levels, lead and water levels. Mm-hmm. You know, the sort of difference here politically is Flint was run by a state-appointed emergency manager at the time for reasons that had to do with the finances there. And they said that the water was safe to drink, downplayed almost any and all concerns about the water, frankly. And then continued to give, like, folks had no recourse, right? They couldn't petition their local government because their local government was a state government. And the state regulatory agency was supposed to be overseeing the state-appointed emergency manager. So just, like, politically speaking, it is hard to compare the two because there was no way Flint was going to switch back to Detroit water without the proof that elevated levels were happening in small children. In Benton Harbor, we have, I realize that there are people that are just learning about this exceedance in Benton Harbor. But in this case, there has been local notice. There has been reports written about Benton Harbor's lead levels. We have heard about them. That said, they, you know, there are still things that are happening that have to do with, like I said, the optics of it are comparable, where they're letting them just sort of drag on until you get enough political pressure to say, hey, no, this is actually not safe to drink. Here's some bottled water.
So, Lindsay, we've also been reading about Hamtramck and having elevated lead levels in water in Hamtramck as well. We've heard about it in Detroit in the past. Why are we seeing more frequent stories about elevated lead levels throughout the state?
So the reason we are seeing more headlines about lead levels in cities in Michigan has to do with the post-Flint water crisis changes to Michigan's lead in water regulations. Basically, after Flint, DEQ, the Department of Environmental Quality, now EGLE, they rewrote the law or the regulations for lead in water. We have the toughest regulations in the country. Michigan does. Probably just start with that, right? That's the biggest change. So because we have rules now that require water systems to test for water more often, more accurately, especially in cities that have homes with lead service lines, we are finding more lead. And that, you know, Benton Harbor didn't change its water treatment in 2018. Nothing changed.
Right.
They exceeded the action level, and then they continued to do that under the new rules. And that's why we're seeing Hamtramck, Manchester, Wayne, St. Clair Shores has been on and off the list since the rule changed. And there's all kinds of, you know, I'm hitting bigger places, but there's all kinds of little apartment complexes or senior living facilities that exceed the action level. And at least now we can get our hands on it. We can see the information that used to be really hard to get because the way we were doing it before really allowed the problem to go unnoticed.
And that's the Stateside Podcast. I'm Laura Weber Davis, in for April Baer. Our theme music is by 14KT, with additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks for listening.